No, bro. Brother Bill was telling me this morning that got some mail or whatever this week, and they was talking about that want the church to spend $195 since we're a small church to where we can have where we can sing the songs. But as long as we got the hymnal, we can sing them. But we, you know, I can understand them wanting us to, they want royalties after all the others, but I still, I don't think we ought to do it. I think we, that they need to go on and supply their own and everything, because I'm of the this. And I don't know how many of you have ever heard, but the whole lot of the singers today, the groups and everything that go around and singing and everything, and they don't work a public job and unlike that, they say they're called of God to sing. Well, I don't know where to get that from, because it's not in my Bible. Because God don't have but one calling, and that's upon the pastor of the church. And I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to get all the money they can. But I still say this. If you got to do that to get you places to go and sing and to travel, then you're doing it for the wrong reason. I honestly believe that. And people today, they're doing a whole lot of things today, and they're using Christ, using his name to get something for them and to better their own life. But we need not to do that. And I told Bro Bill, I said, well, as long as we got the hymnals and everything, that's what we're going to stick with. I mean, because what are they doing? They're changing all the songs to contemporary music anyhow. And when you get up here and sing, the music is so, the music is so loud you can't even hear the words of the song. I just soon hear somebody sing a cappella, if they can sing on key or not, and sing and hear the words that they're saying, and hear somebody else sing that's got this all this loud music and everything. I want to try to finish up the message I started this morning. I didn't know if I was going to get through with it or not this morning. But this morning, what it was preaching about, we're preaching about the Christian separation, how the Christians need to be separated unto God. And we've seen that where over in the book of Acts, chapter 9 through 1 through 9, where Paul was separated from the world, separated from the life that he had been living before, and he was separated unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And we also see that in Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son there. We can see that also that he had to learn about the separation between himself and between the world and between him and his inheritance. He was looking more to his inheritance than what he was looking for Jesus for. And we've seen that in Luke chapter 15 and verses 12 through 24. And then we spoke about the manic of the Gadarean. And that's in Luke chapter 8 and verses 26 through 39. And we've seen where he roamed among the tombs. And he was naked, and he was going out, and he was doing everything he could to abide by what Satan wanted him to do. And he was even cutting himself and all of this. But until until he got to know Jesus Christ, until Jesus Christ met up with him, you know, he wasn't looking for Jesus Christ. I wasn't looking for Jesus Christ, and neither was you. No one is ever looking to be saved. No one is ever looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. But one thing about it, he is looking, and he's looking for us as individuals. He knows exactly where we are at, but he wants us to know that, yes, he is looking, and he's walking to and fro, and he's going, and he wants us to realize that he is the one that can separate us. We cannot do nothing to separate ourselves from the world. But here this evening, I want to try to finish it up. And I want to try to finish it up on the talking about the Christian and everything, and the sinful practices, the practice that the Christians do. And we can see the first one, what are we to be separated from? What are we to be separated from? I told you what Paul and the prodigal son and then the Gadarean, what they needed to be separated from. But what do we need to be separated from as Christians? As born again believers, we need to be separated. And when the first one, we need to be have a sin we need to have, and we should not look at it as this way, a sinful companion. And I spoke this morning, and I read a little bit about it, about unequally yoked. There's so many people today that is unequally yoked, and they're not with God, and they're not against God. They're straddling the so-called fence. And when they straddle the fence, 9 times out of 10, majority of what they're straddling, they're straddling their way into the world. Because the world today has power. But we know somebody else has got greater power than what this world has got, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've just sung the song, there's power in the blood. And if we've ever been washed again in his precious blood, he has given us that power to where we can conquer anything that comes before us, and because we have his power. But the sinful companion, many an individual has started out right in the Christian life, only to be dragged down because of the company that they kept before. Other words, because of the friends that they had before, the friends would drag them back down. Drag them back down to where they was once at. We see that. And we see where the prophet Amos asked the question, can two walk together if they be not agreed? As a Christian, we cannot walk with the world and have any influence on other people. We must walk with Christ. And just because we go out here and we witness to the sinner, and we witness to the people in the world, but what we can show the world after we witness to them, that we need to turn around and walk away. Walk away. We're not walking away from the sinner that we have just shared the gospel with, but we're walking away from the world. Because the world's like that just to grab us. And if the world can grab me and grab you, then, hey, Satan's done his job. Because that's what he wants. See, Satan don't go after the people in the world. He goes after me and you. Why? Because we are doing our very best to teach people about Christ. We're trying our very best to teach people about the things of God. And we can also see where we can greet, we must greet together. We must greet together. We must agree and together in one thing, and that is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If we cannot agree on that, something is wrong with someone. But we've got to agree on that. That's in the Old Testament. And that's what, basically, that's what Amos is saying. We need to agree. I need to agree. And you need to agree with me. And I need to agree with you that Jesus Christ went to Calvary. He conquered death, hell, and a grave. For who? For me and you. And I'm so thankful today that I can honestly say that I know of a Savior that conquered death, hell, and the grave for me. That I don't have to worry about going to hell. I don't have to worry about doing some of the other things that people say they do. I don't have to worry about. The only thing that I need to worry about is being faithful to Him. The only thing I need to worry about is worry about Him in reading His Word. Allowing His Word to grab a hold to my heart. You know, the Word of God has some things about it that we don't understand. We don't understand this book. Really, when you come down to it, we don't understand it. Because if you do, I got one question I want to ask you. Why did Jesus Christ love you so much that He was willing to go and hang between heaven and hell? We cannot come up with a decent enough answer for that. I can't understand why He would be willing to go and to die for me. Because I know myself. I know what kind of sorry individual I am. But I still don't understand why He done it. I don't understand it. I can analyze, I can get in God's Word, and I can read it. I can read it, and I am saved by faith. By faith and by faith only. What this Bible teaches me, it teaches me by faith. What I believe in the Word of God is by faith. I can't tell you where it comes from, but I can tell you one thing. It's for me to understand by faith and through faith. That is the type of God that I serve. He didn't ask me to come about and to serve Him about this and about that. No, He said, I've given you the Word of God. Now you must trust my Word. And the word trust is what? By faith. That's what the word trust means. Is by faith. We see the sinful occupation of the people today. We see where people today, they they stand between the Christian and they stand between the world. They are what they call the so-called Christian or whatever you want to call them. But they're not the true Christians. They're not the true born-again believer, because if they were, they would not stand in the way of me and you and winning somebody else to the Lord. But they do. How do they do it? They do it by us going out here and inviting someone to church. And we tell them how much God loves them, but yet we'll have someone else to go by and tell them, you don't need to go to church to get to heaven. All you got to do is ask Jesus to save you. That's the first and most important thing, is ask Christ to save your soul. But I will say this. If they do that, and if Christ does not put it in their heart to be in church, then they was looking to the wrong one for their salvation. They was looking to the devil. They was looking to the world. The world has nothing to offer me and you. We basically don't have anything to offer the world, per se, and what they want us to do. But we do. We have everything in the world to offer them. We have life. And we have life more abundantly to offer them. We have something that we call encouragement. We also have something that we can hold on to. And that's what faith that we have in Jesus Christ. How much can we offer the people? I can offer them so much. And if they would just come and if they would just believe. I can tell so much and what can be offered to them. I can't offer them nothing. But Christ can. Christ can offer them a whole lot more than they ever expected. Do they deserve it? No. Do we deserve it? No. But he still offers it in the same way. Why? Why does he do that? Because of what we are trying to do for him and him only. I'm not going out here and visiting people for them. I'm doing it because the Lord Jesus Christ commanded me in the Word of God to do that. That's something that I don't have to pray about. That's something that nobody, no Christian has to pray about. And being a witness for Him. Because God's Word commands us to go into the highway and into the hedges and into the uttermost part of this world and to share His gospel. But yet, we think that if we do it, then we are doing something that we know is right. We don't know that. No, we should not never say that we're doing it because we know that that's the right thing to do. We should always say we do it because of what he done at Calvary. Calvary. Have we really sat down and really analyzed what Calvary really meant? The place of the skull had, he was the cross, and he went up the hill and he drug the cross up that hill, and up that hill beside, and there was a skull that was mimicking the surrounding areas. A skull. That's what it was called. Golgotha's hill was considered as called a skull. Why would he go that route? I believe, this is me now. Yeah. Some of you may laugh at me when I say it, but that's fine, that's okay. But I believe the reason he took that route, oh, he could have took another route to get on top of the mountain there, top of the hill, to where they was going to crucify him. Probably could have went a quicker way. Probably could have went around a longer way. But he went up the side of the mountain that was called the skull. I believe the reason he went that way was where he could get into the minds of the people. Today, we have people today, they have got it all in their imagination. They've got it all in the head. But they don't have it in the heart. I believe once an individual really analyzes it to the point that that's all they can think about, I believe it, then it'll drift on down to the heart. Why? Because that's where love starts at. Love doesn't start in my mind, in my brain. Love doesn't start that. It starts in my heart. But he went up the mountain called the skull. And it, they say it actually looks like a skull of a human being. It has the, where the eye sockets, the where the eyes has been plucked out, and they say that it's got a place there that it seems like the point of a nose, and they say that it also got a place there, a wide enough place, which they can consider that the mouth. You know, we can take that one specific thing right there, and we can stay on that for 3 or 4 months. Why? Because what do we have between our jaws? What do we have between our upper and lower teeth? What is in there? What is in there that's deceitful, that can kill people and not even pull a trigger and not even shed no blood? And that is called the tongue. The tongue itself does more damage today. It's done so much more damage down through the years. And once we say something by the tongue, It cannot be taken back. We're going to say, we can go to the individual and we're going to apologize from here. The kingdom come. But it's still out there. It's still out there. They know what I said. That's the reason I say, and I think that was the reason a whole lot of people are saying it today, that what we need to do, especially as Christians, we need to, first of all, engage your heart and engage your mind before we ever open our mouths. Because once we open our mouths and once our tongue starts all the deceitfulness, we done ruined somebody's testimony. And we didn't mean to do it, but we've done it. We don't need that. The only thing that we need is God's love. And we need to share His love. We need to love people. We need to love everybody. God's Word says we're supposed to love the individual that despitefully uses us. I'm supposed to love the individual that curses me. I'm supposed to love the individual that wishes I was dead. I'm supposed to love them. That's what God's Word says. I'm supposed to. But God, see, though, God don't say it that way. God don't say, you're supposed to love. No. God says, I command you. I command you to love one another as I once loved you. Greater love that hath no man than an individual that has a friend that will lay down his life for your life and for my life. That's over there in John 15:33, I believe it is. But we'll see that also, not only that, but we'll see the sinful practices. The practices that of people. And we see the practices of Christians also. Of sin. They still practicing sin today. And they say that they're Christians. You know the only way I can analyze that? I have to go back to the book of Hebrews. And chapter 9, I believe it is, it talks about the chastisement. If the Lord is not chastising someone that's doing something wrong and out openly doing it wrong, what does the Word say? Forgive me for the word. But he says, well, bastards. And we're not his. I know it ain't the very words that said, but that's basically what he's saying. That we're bastards. We're illegitimate. We don't even need to realize all of that. But in Romans, in the book of Romans chapter 7, Paul's speaking about the flesh. We have to deal with the flesh every day. I don't have to deal with the flesh just on Saturday night. The way I can get everything together and everything for Sunday. I don't have to deal with the flesh just on Saturday night. I have to deal with the flesh every day. Every day that I wake up, I have to deal with the flesh. And the flesh is carnal. I had a preacher tell me one time, and I think he was reading over here in Romans chapter 7. And it's talking about the carnality. And he said, I do not believe that an individual that is carnal is a Christian. You know what that tells me is? Is what he's thinking is that the inward man and the outer man is both saved. But we know that the outer man, the flesh, what you see right here today is not saved. This flesh that I have is not saved. The inward man is saved. Because this sinful flesh that I have cannot enter into the portals of glory. Cannot enter there. So, The carnal man means that he's done surrendered to the flesh. Because that's what carnality means, the fleshly part of the man. And Paul, he knew about it. Paul walked and Paul talked and Paul prayed about it all the time. That he would stay pure to God. And he would stay right with God. He would not allow the flesh to take over the inward man. That he was praying for that the inner man would take over the outer man. And that's what we need to do. How do we do that? How do we allow the inward man to overcome the fleshly man, the carnality that we have? I believe that there's not one way. And we have to be completely sold out. Completely to Jesus Christ. And we have to pray that He will touch our bodies as we go out and as we do His work. We have so many people today that are not willing to do anything for God. But yet they want God to do everything for them. You know of anybody like that? And every time you turn around, they are wanting something from God. But they're never willing to give out any of their time. They're not willing to give anything out to God. God does not bless people that does not bless Him first. I do not believe that He does. I believe that an individual and what they get, and they have never, the first time, has done anything at all for God. And they'll stand in church. They'll stand and say, I thank God for all His blessings on my life. But yet they know when I had visited for Him. They've never done nothing at all for Him. I just can't understand that. I just
I reckon because the Lord has touched me in a way that, well, at one time in my lifetime, I couldn't even speak. I mean, I wouldn't get up here. I could not even get up here and speak to you. I could not even get up here and ask you to pray for me. That's how timid I was. That's how bashful I was. And then God called me to preach. And I said, no, God, not me. Not me. You know I can't speak in front of the people. What, you only give us and just stand there and look like a zombie? Because that's all I would be doing. But God said, I called you. I know you can't preach. I know you can't speak to people. I know that you don't know how. And you don't have to stand there like a zombie either. He says, you just surrender and I will do the rest. And he will do the rest. I thought I would never say, like I said this morning, and like I said, I believe it was this past week, that if I had to give up preaching, then he just might well going to take me home. I love it. I love trying to do something for him. And I know that I'm a poor example. But the only thing he asked me to do was be a willing vessel. And you try. See, if we never try anything, we do not know if we can do it or not. That's just like each one of us when we had our first job. I hear when we went on that job for the first time, we hardly probably didn't even know nobody there. We didn't know how to do the job, but we went. And we tried our very best to do the job that they asked us to do. We'd have never known if we could have done the job. If we just said, no, it ain't only me going. Man, I can't do that job. I can't do it. I can't. In God's vocabulary, there's two words that's not in it. The first one is a two-letter word, and it's the word if. And the next one is a four-letter word. Can't. Do you want to be called the one? And do I want to be called the one that always comes up with the solution of what I need to do? I can't do it. But we can do all things through Him. And Him only. He has to be the number one that we're thinking about doing it for. And if we have got that mindset, that what we do, we just wanted to bring him honor and glory and praise. If we have that on our mind to bless him that way, you can do it. I can do it. We can all do it together. Why? Because see, that's the God that I serve. And that's the same God that you serve. See, we don't serve separate gods. We serve the same God. So the same God that teaches me and allows me to do certain things and to go out and to visit and to read His Word and to pray, the same God for you. He will do the same for you. I'm just so thankful today that I can call myself, and I'm not bashful one bit about it, I can call myself a Christian. I can call myself a born-again believer. Am I perfect? No. Do I sin? Yes. But I can still say that I'm a Christian. Not by anything that I've done, but by what He has done for me. He's the one that kept me. He's the one that's going to keep me until I go home. And then after I go home, He's still going to keep me. But I'll say this. When I get home, these old legs right now, they are mighty tired. And this body will kind of stumble. But when I get home and after I bathe His feet, do you think that I'm going to just walk down the main street of gold? See, it's not going to be one street there. Some people, and even in some of the songs that they sing about many streets of gold. No, there's one street of gold. That's the main one that runs by the Lord Jesus Christ. And where He lives, where you live, where I live, and even though when we get there, we're going to go to the banquet dinner. And we're going to have some food there we ain't never thought about. But after all of that, I'm going to get out here on that main highway, the main street there in heaven. I'm going to get out there on it. And I'm going to look at it. And I'm going to look as far as I can. You know, the next thing I'm going to do, I'm going to put these old legs in gear, and these old legs is going to fly down Main Street. It ain't going to be no walking to it. It is, whoo, glory. I ain't going to have no eyeglasses. I ain't going to have no artificial knee. I'm not going to even have this with me.
But I'll be so glad when I get there. But until I get there, I got some things that I need to do. I got some family that's lost that I love. So I would love for them to be, see them saved. I really would. But I cannot go and worry them. Because if I do, that does not do nothing but draw them away. That just draws them a little deeper and a little deeper down into a hole to where they can't listen at all. But I've been to them before. And right now, what I do now, I don't go to them and I don't worry them about church. I don't worry them about salvation. What I do, I go to the main source. I go to God. And I say, God, you know how my heart feels. You know, Lord, what I want and what I would love to see happen. Lord, I know also if I go and if I talk to my brother again, that he's going to get deeper and deeper into that shell. Well, I don't know if I'll ever be able to reach him. But Father, would you go to him? Would you reach him? I've done all I can do. I mean, I tell you, like I said this morning, I'm just longing to see somebody just to come into this church and just, before they even sit down, just come to this altar and just ask God to save their soul. What they have to realize is, they have to realize when they come in, they don't have to be embarrassed. They don't have to be ashamed because they're among people that's going to take them in, that's going to love them, is going to teach them. That's what we're going to do. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do my part. Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. Now, Father, we just ask now that you just go with us the remainder of this service. And Father, we ask, Lord Jesus, if there's anyone here tonight, to where have you spoken their heart about something, Father? Lord, we pray, Father, that they will come up to the front pew. Or Father, maybe some can come up and bow head to altar. Father, we just need your help tonight. And Lord, we just want to thank you. Once again, for this day that where you've allowed us to be a part of your services. And help us this week that we may carry the word and we may give it to people and you will speak to their heart about the word. We thank you. And we love you because you once loved us and you loved us first. Father, help me that I can share your love with someone this week. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen.